such a great people. We thank you for this house, and we thank you for the set man and woman in this house. God, we bless them and we honor them. God, have your way in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Father, we come against every hindering force right now. Oh, every assignment of the enemy that would try to stop or stifle or hinder or detain the power of God, the move of God, from flowing in this place. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. And we decree in this place that we have the victory right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. If you believe that we have the victory, why don't you put your hands together, open your mouth, and give God some praise. Oh, I don't hear you. I said open your mouth and give God some praise. Put some more highs on this microphone. Come on, give him some praise. Highs. Oh, come on, give him some praise. Why don't you stand to your feet? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. This is our 10th year celebration. This is not a burial service. Amen. This is not the last service. Huh? Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God, come on, for saving me. Oh, bless his name. It's just about right. I said, God is in this place. Oh, come on and bless his name one more time before you sit down. Oh, can I get you to just praise him for about 30 seconds? Can I get you to clap your hands and open your mouth and give him some praise? Can I get you to shout hallelujah? Can I get you to shout hallelujah? Out of the depths of your heart, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, we worship you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We bless your name. We honor you, Lord, for you alone are worthy to be praised. You're worthy. 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 Hallelujah. Come on and praise him. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, God, we give you praise. Father, we just thank you. You may have your seat in the presence of the Lord. Again, we honor you and we greet you in the matchless, priceless name of Jesus. And again, we thank you. It's always a privilege and an honor to be here at Spirit of Life with Pastor Dawson and Lady Dawson, to this great congregation of believers. It's always good to be here. We thank God for what he's doing in our midst. Amen. I also want to thank God for the House of Reconciliation Church International being here. Amen. And also, I'm surprised to see my parents here, my grandparent. Amen. Deacon Benjamin Gates, Minister Rosalie Gates, and my grandmother, Lucille Duncan. Amen. We thank God for you all being here. Pastor Dawson, they snuck up on us. It's a blessing. Amen. We're so glad to see you all. We're going to get right into the word. Is that all right? I thank God for this time of celebration. It's something to be said of a pastor and his wife who can endure for 1 year. And it's something to be said of them when they can endure 2 years. And it's much to be said when they can endure 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And what you may not know is that you have to prove yourself 7 years. And some people don't even make it through the first or second. The community, the religious world at large will not even pay you any attention until you do at least 7 years. And some of us didn't know that. They will act like you are not here. When you call them to come fellowship, they will deny you. They will not fellowship with you, not encourage you. They won't send finances, families, friends. Amen. They may even send a few spies in the camp, huh? But But you got to do at least 7 years before they say, okay, they're serious about the work of the Lord. But today we're here to celebrate a pastor and a wife and a church, a ministry, who's been able to stay together for 10 years. Somebody ought to say amen. Now that's something to be said. That's something to celebrate. That's something to thank God for. It's in my black bag. That's something to worship God for. That's something to be excited about. So today, Spirit of Life, we salute you. We celebrate you. We thank God for you standing 10 years. You ought to be excited. Pat your own self. Amen. It's something to be said. He got me by, Pastor Dawson has the House of Reconciliation by a couple of months. In March, we'll be celebrating our 10th year. So I know what it means to stand most of the time alone, because people don't really believe God calls. And let me tell you this, if he didn't call you to this work, you won't last. Oh, no. Now, with the trials and the tribulations and the struggles that you feel faced with, not only mentally, not only physically, not only financially, but mentally, you may see us walking around and you may be envious. I don't see why. But you never know the struggles that a pastor and his wife goes through just to walk in the door sometime. Amen. Sometime if we can just get here, hopefully it'll be all right. Sometime if you can just get to the house. You may get there without a word, huh? But miraculously, because God called you, and he called you to the people who he has surrounded you with, for their sake, he will give you a word. So we celebrate you, Pastor, Lady Dawson. Spirit of Life. We're going to go quickly to our text tonight. Amen. Are you here to have a good time in the Lord? Amen. We're going to the book of Joshua. And we're going to look at the third chapter. And we will read verse 5 right now.
When you have it, say I'm in the Word.
Amen. And it says, Father, before we start, Father, again, we just thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for this grand opportunity to share in this place during this 10th year celebration. Father, we pray that your word will go forth with simplicity, with power, and with signs and wonders to follow. In Jesus' name, everyone in agreement say amen. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter number 3, verse 5, it says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Somebody say tomorrow. Talk back to me. Say tomorrow. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. For tomorrow the Lord will do. He will do wonders among you. I looked at this text and I begin to think about what's being said here and how we can tie it into your 10th year's celebration, and I came up with one word. And that word is simply expectation. Here, Joshua is encouraging the children of Israel to sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's backtrack just a little bit. If you remember in the first chapter of the same book, the Bible says, "And now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my son, is dead." So here we're looking at a transition taking place. We're looking at, if you will, the changing of the guards. We're looking at one era dying out, but simultaneously a new one being birthed. The Bible says that except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. So what am I saying? I'm saying that in order for what was new, in order for what was to be new, in order for that thing that's new to spring forth, that which is old had to die so that it could give birth to that which was new. All right? So Moses had to die in order for this new thing to be birthed. So the Spirit of the Lord said, "My servant Moses is dead." But I want you to remember something, that although Moses was dead, the promise was still alive. The promise was alive and well. See, we get mixed up when there's a shifting or a change. We think it's because what God promised is not real. But to the contrary, just because something dies does not mean that the promise died with it. Somebody ought to say amen. Just because it dies, just because things die around you, just because circumstances change around you, does not mean that it's the end. In reality, it's only just begun. It's only the beginning. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's only the beginning." God had to raise up a new order. Joshua and the people had to make a commitment first. Now remember, they were obedient and subject to Moses. They had followed him out of Egypt, is that right? And he brought them as far as he could. Huh? Don't you know that sometimes under a different heading or a different leadership, a leader can only take you so far, that the leader's ordained and graced and equipped to take you only so far, amen. But then God will raise up a new leader to take you, amen, across the River Jordan. Somebody say amen. But the old had to die before the new can come alive. Is that right? So with this old order dying off and this new order being birthed, the people had to make a commitment to the new order like they made it to the old order. Is that right? If we look at verse number 10, it says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying," and he gave them instructions on what to do in preparation for the journey that they were about to take. God promised him that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And Moses began to tell the children of Israel the plan that God had given him to move on to the next level. The 16th verse says, "And they answered the people answered and said, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whethersoever thou send us, we will what? According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." So the people had to make up their mind. They had to make a commitment to submit to the new order. You can't follow the leader under the pretense of the old leader. Even if the leader you're following is the same leader, but yet new. which means he had an experience with God. Now he has a new direction as to where God wants to take us. So you can't follow him after the old order. You have to follow him as a result of the new order. Are you listening to me? So the people had to make up their mind. Spirit of life, we have to make up in our mind that we're going to follow whithersoever he says to go, that's where we're going to go. Because your blessing is being obedient. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's keep reading. It says, number 18, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy word and in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to what? It says what? He shall be put to death, only be strong and of a good courage. Let's keep reading. Now the second chapter, because remember, we're going somewhere. In the second chapter, Joshua is preparing the people to go to the next level. And so he sent out spies. And it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out spies, two men secretly. Now, if you know anything about Joshua, 40 years ago, he and Cain, who was it? Caleb, were one of the 12 who Moses sent to spy out the land. And if you can remember, it was 12, and they went openly. The whole tribe, everybody in Israel, knew that they were going to spy out the land. And if you can remember the story, 10 came back with an evil report, but only 2 said that we are more than able to take this land. So Joshua, having learned from experience, sent 2 men into the city privately. Somebody say amen. Thank God for wise leadership. He sent them in privately, so that they could prepare the way into the next level. Are you with me? So as you know the story, they hung out with Rahab. Is that right? Interestingly enough, what they did was not necessary because God had already made the way. If you read this chapter, it'll tell you that the people were already afraid of the fact that the children of Israel were on their way because they had heard how God had opened up the Red Sea. Let me tell you, sometimes your enemies, people who have what belongs to you, are already shaking in their boots because they know that it's just a matter of time before they have to give to you what rightfully belongs to you. Somebody say amen. And a lot of times we are the last ones to know it. So here we are in our chapter number 3. And it says that Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto. So here Joshua was getting ready to take the children of Israel in a way that they had never gone. But they were watching. But they couldn't go until the word went before them. And they could not go before the word, because the word was what was going to give them the direction, because they had no idea which way to go. Now, the Bible says that they were, 2,000 cubic. And that's almost a mile. It's 138 yards, which is the size of a football field, plus another third. That's how far away from the ark they had to walk. Amen. Somebody say amen. You have to follow the word. Amen. Sometimes we try to get the word to follow us. He said, for you have not passed this way before. How are you going to get there without the word? How are you going to get there without direction? How are you going to get to your place of promise, your place of purpose without the word? It's impossible. That's just like trying to go to Texas, reading a map on how to get to Oregon. You end up in Oregon. You'll never see Texas. Somebody say amen. The fifth verse says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Notice, he said, sanctify yourself. See, it's an individual thing. Although God wanted to take the whole group, it was for all the children of Israel. But you had to prepare yourself individually. See, the preacher can preach in this place that God is going to work a miracle. God is going to release finances in this place. And we can shout and we can holler and we can roll all over the floor and jerk, amen, and huck a buck and all that. But if you don't prepare yourself, you just wasted a whole lot of time. He said, prepare yourself. Now, he's taking us collectively. But individually, you must prepare yourself. So he said, sanctify yourself. God's not going to come down and do it. The pastor ain't going to come and do it. Huh? He said, sanctify yourself. Now, what does it mean to sanctify? It means to consecrate. It means to sanctify or to dedicate. Or to be holy, or to be hallowed, to be sanctified, to be separated. But the word that really brings it home, and to me it makes it really, really plain, is to prepare. You see, because when we say sanctify, we get spiritual and deep. We do. We get spiritual and deep. And, you know, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, amen, amen, praise the Lord. You know, and it's all of this outward stuff, you know. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, prepare yourself or position yourself. They had to wash their clothes. Watch this. They had to put out their clothes tonight for tomorrow. And if they had to wash, then you go wash them before you go to bed. And you iron them, put them on a hanger, amen, get your socks to go with it, your shoes, your tie, amen, your cufflinks, your hanky, amen, the jacket that's going to match it, amen, amen, the purse is going to go with the shoes, it's going to go with the stockings, amen, and you get it out the night before, because tomorrow we out of here. And you have to do it intimately. Look, it's like the five wise and the five foolish. All 10 of them went up to the chamber. And they all had the same testimony. We're going to this marriage. We're going to see the bridegroom. And they had no idea when the bridegroom was coming. But the Bible said there were five who were wise. And they took extra because they considered, it may take a little longer than we anticipated. So we're going to take extra just in case. But the foolish said, well, he better be here in 15 minutes because that's all the oil I have. That's called the word following you. So you know the story. Their little lamp started going dim. And they went to the five wise and says, girl, we need some of your oil because our little lamps. See, now I'm going to make my problem your problem. I'm running out of oil. Come on, sister. And the five wise said, go take your happy self where they sell oil and buy it just like we did. Now, you may say that ain't like God, but the Bible calls them wise. And we would say that it's a shame that they wouldn't share, but that's called wisdom. And you know the story. The bridegroom came around midnight, and those who were wise went in, and those who were foolish were still out preparing for tomorrow, today, and they should have did it yesterday. I'm moving on. So he said, prepare yourself. Prepare. Position yourself. Yourself. Do it yourself. Whatever. What do you have to do for yourself? How do you have to adjust yourself? How do you have to align up yourself? Now let's look at briefly what promotes preparedness. Number one, faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. See, you don't have faith if you have not heard the word. If you hear the word, it will develop faith. It will. It will induce faith. Amen. Remember, at the beginning, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and that his seed would inherit the place called promise. That was the word. Amen. And it increased faith. It induced faith. And after the word came, then he began to believe. So after you have faith, after you begin to hear the word, then you begin to both see and believe. Because as the word of God begins to speak to you, then it paints a vivid picture in your mind of the possibilities that can happen. If you remember when God told Abraham that he was going to have sons, he had to show him, he had to give him a visual of what it meant to be the father of many nations. So he told him, your seed will be like the grain of the sand. Or like the stars. Lay out on your deck tonight and count the stars. And if you can count the stars, that's about how many children you'll have. So he began to hear and see, which induced belief. But the word comes first. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor the word comes first. And then after hearing the word, he began to believe. And if the Bible says, if you can believe, all things are what? But you got to believe. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. If you can just believe. Now I'm going somewhere. You still with me? If you can believe. And let me tell you something. Belief doesn't just happen, church. Just because you've been in church, you think you believe. That's not what births belief. You can say you believe, but I dare for something to happen. I dare you to go out in the parking lot and your tires are slashed. Where's your belief then? Somebody say amen. You have to believe. You have to hear the word and then make a conscious decision to believe it. And as you believe it, then you nurse it. And you water that belief with what? More of what? And as you water that word, then your faith will increase. And as your faith increases, your belief will become bigger and bigger, larger and larger. And then the third thing, what happens is now that you've heard the word, you see and you believe, now you have expectation. What are you expecting? The word to manifest because you believe it. See, my expectation is not just a fleeing thought. My expectation is based on something. What is it based on? It's based on something that you heard. Somebody say amen. What does it mean to expect? It means to look forward to. How many people got up this morning and had nothing to look forward to? How many people will go to bed tonight dreading the act of going to bed because they have nothing to look forward to? It means to consider reasonable, due, or necessary. To consider, watch this, to be obligated. Now that might be a hard word for some of us to chew on, because we don't think we're worthy for anything. We don't think that anything is obligated to us. We don't think that the word is obligated to produce itself after its kind. So we don't expect it to happen. We preach about it, sing about it, shout about it, but we really don't expect it. Why? Because we don't think that the word is obligated to our faith. Therefore, we hear the word and we don't. Why? Because it really does not matter. Why? Because I don't measure up to what people say I ought to measure up to. Therefore, I can't believe that the word that was preached is good for me. So I have no expectations. Expectancy, the expected amount. I'm not just expecting, well, just Lord, whatever you can do. It's just any, and you know, you're not telling the truth. It sounds good and religious. Well, Lord, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. That's not true, because when you get, it's like, well, where's the rest of it? But you just told me any way you bless me. That's just like, I can't think of the gentleman's name, has the largest church in Japan. When he first started out, he asked God for transportation. And he believed God, because in Japan, you know, it's very, very crowded there. And walking was a chore, and it was real crowded. And he said, Lord, I need some transportation. That was any way you bless me kind of prayer. And so the Lord blessed him with a bicycle. And he was disappointed. But he wasn't expecting a certain amount or a certain quality or a certain quantity or a specific kind. Expectancy, the expected amount. I'm expecting God to bless me with $5,000, $50,000, $2 million. What can you believe God for? If you can't believe God for $5, you won't believe him for $10, because you don't believe he's going to give you the $5. Expectations, the act or state of expecting. Prospect of good or bad fortune. What are you expecting? Some of us are expecting bad things to happen, and that's why they happen. We expect, now watch, just as soon as watch. He's going to cut up, and when you get home and he cut up, then you're disappointed. But you expected it. What did you expect? Something different? Oh, man, I got to go to this post office box. I know it's going to be some bills in there. When you get the bills, you're mad at God. But it's what you expected. What do you get up in the morning expecting? I have to share this testimony. Years ago, 1978, a couple years ago, I was very, 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 very young. 1978, very, very, I was extremely young. Amen. Somebody say amen. I was young. Ooh, Lord, I was very young. Amen. And I put in an application to go to the University of Washington. And people in my neighborhood, some of my classmates said I was too dumb to go to a university, that I would have to go to a JC. Sent out my little application, and every morning I would wake up and I would run down the hallway at our house. We had a long hallway. Run into the mailbox expecting my letter of acceptance. I was expecting an amount or a specific response. I didn't go there, well, Lord, you know, you go, I don't want to look, you know, you look. I was going there expecting my letter of acceptance. Ran down the hallway, opened the mailbox, nothing in. I just closed it. Well, tomorrow. Next day, I was. About September 20th, a couple years ago, ran down the hallway, opened the mailbox. Mom and Dad sitting in the kitchen. I believe it was on a Saturday. Opened the letter, said, University of Washington. Opened the letter, and it said that I had been accepted into the University of Washington. Amen. I got it because I expected it. So what are you expecting in your 10th year? Same old, same old? That was a trick question. I know that. Are you expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think? Are you expecting God to fill this place to the overflow? Do you come here with anticipation that there's no room? Or do you come here early because it might not be a parking spot in the parking lot? Or do you come here late because you know it's going to be a couple of spots? Well, we'll get here, you know, because, And so we'll pull up about and park in our same spot because it's going to be there. You better watch it. You roll up in here one day and have to park on Hazel and Beach somewhere in the back somewhere. Amen. Somebody say amen. What are you expecting? He said, prepare yourself, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow. But you have to prepare today for what you're expecting tomorrow. Amen. If you're believing God to fill up this place, put out some more chairs. Well, we haven't filled up those. That's your problem. Pull out some new chairs. Tell folks, move over. Move over, because folks are coming in. Move over. If it's just you and your wife, just sit close together. Amen. Noah got a word from the Lord that it was going to rain. He heard it was going to rain. And he believed that it was going to rain. So he prepared for the rain. He prepared for 120 years. I said he prepared for 120 years that it was going to rain. And he kept telling people what was going to happen. He kept preaching it's going to rain. They laughed at him, they mocked him, they thought he had lost his mind, but he got his hammer and his nail and began to build the ark. Why? Because it was going to rain. I'm not building this today for today. I'm building this today for tomorrow, because tomorrow it's going to rain. And if I don't prepare today for tomorrow, I'm going to be in a bad situation when tomorrow comes, And we'll be like those who didn't believe him, knocking on the door, let us in, let us in. Some people want to wait until it rains to prepare for rain, but baby, it's too late. So prepare yourself. Now, if you believe that God's going to do something for you tomorrow, prepare today. Position yourself today. Write down what you're expecting God to do, If you really expect it, listen, and watch this. Watch, and then tell somebody. Well, it's an unspoken request. Well, an unspoken request will die. Unspoken request will die a thought unborn. If you don't speak it, it will never see the day of light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And what? He didn't just think light. He didn't just submit an unspoken request. You know, I just request a little light to be. He spoke it when there was no light. So if you are really filled with an expectation, then you need to write it down, and then you need to begin to talk about it. Let him laugh. laugh at you. Let them talk about you. I want them to think I'm crazy, because in a little while, I want you to line up. All you all who think I have lost my mind, Pastor, they think we done lost our minds. Some of them think we're playing church, but let them line on up, amen, because what God promised is about to happen. Oh, I can't get no help. I said what God promised is about to happen. And see, I don't know about you, but I don't have to see it in the physical realm to know that it's going to happen. Because I see it today. That's why I walk the way I walk. That's why I talk the way I talk. That's why I move the way I move. That's why we're faithful. It's because we believe that what God promised us is going to happen. Pastor, it's going to happen. Prepare yourself, ladies. Line yourself up. Amen. Get ready for the influx. Get ready for the increase. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what people say. I don't care who comes. I don't care who goes. As a matter of fact, if they need to leave, tell them you'll get the door for them. Somebody say amen. Because as they leave, God will send other people in their place. Because tomorrow, somebody say about this time tomorrow, God's going to perform his word. And he's going to do it because you expect it. You didn't know you had that much power, did you? Well, let's look at it. If the stuff that you expect that's not good to happen and it happens anyway, if that works, try expecting something good and see won't it work the same way. Somebody say amen. It's a creative force. It's a creative power. It's a natural law that you're operating. And most of the time, we operate it ignorantly. And ignorance of the law is of no excuse. So start expecting. Stand up tall. Amen. Gird the loins of your mind. Take a stand and believe. Hope against hope. Tomorrow. Amen. We're going to follow the word. Amen. When the Ark of the Covenant goes forth and the priests and the Levites, a little praise and worship, somebody say amen, goes forward, then we're going to walk up right behind it, amen, and find ourselves on the other side of the Jordan. Somebody ought to say amen. And you've got to cross Jordan to get to the promised land. I said, you got to cross Jordan to get to the promised land. I don't want to be on this side and just look at the promised land. Yeah, it looks about like God said. Yeah, I can see the richness of the land from over here. And you know, some people satisfy with that. They settle for that. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, but they never cross Jordan. They never follow the word across Jordan. They never follow instructions. Because then you have those who want to go ahead of the ark. Huh? They want to go ahead of the ark. They want to go ahead of the word. They want to go ahead of the preacher. They want to go ahead of the pastor. They think they know more than the pastor. And they go ahead. And later on down the line, we find their carcass in the desert because they wouldn't follow the word. So expectation. What do you expect? What do you believe in God? What are you believing God for? Whatever it is, prepare yourself. Pastor, prepare yourself. Lady Dawson, prepare yourself. Don't look at what is. It can deter you. It'll make you think that God's not going to show up. Huh? He said, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. But keep your eyes on the ark, because you're going to cross some places that will make you change your mind about crossing the river. You know, when the children of Israel got so far away from Egypt, they ran into some tough times. And they said amongst themselves, we were better off in bondage. We're going to turn around and go back into bondage. And sometimes your role will cause you to want to look back. But keep your eyes on the ark. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep praising. Amen. Keep worshiping. Keep blessing the name of the Lord. And you will find yourself on the other side of Jordan. Somebody say amen. Come on, clap your hands and give God some praise. Come on, give him some praise. What are you expecting God to do? Then prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Prepare yourself for a miracle. Prepare yourself for a breakthrough. Prepare yourself for deliverance. Prepare yourself for an open door. Prepare yourself. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor to prepare. Oh, come on, church. Tell your neighbor to prepare. Prepare now. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet and let's give God some praise. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on and bless his name. Come on and bless his name. Come on and bless his name. Let me tell you something. God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. Don't you let the devil deceive you, because some of us, Pastor, are just the blessing is just around the corner, and that's why there's such a fight. That's why there's such a struggle, because if he can get you to quit 3 feet short of your goal, then your 10 years are in vain. Don't you know that it gets hard when you get to the end? Don't you know it gets heavy? It gets heavier when you get close to the end. Don't you know when you're just about to break through, don't you know that when you're just about to give birth, that's when you suffer the most pain? I heard about it. When you're just about to deliver yourself, it's the hardest. But it only lasts for a moment. And then when you look at that blessing, oh my God. Oh my God, you forget about the pain and you forget about the suffering. So even now, before you give birth, keep your eyes, amen, on the promise. Keep your eyes on what you're expecting from God. Keep your eyes on the word of God. And don't let nothing or nobody deter you from the promises of God. Don't you know you've got to, watch this word, you've got to struggle, so to speak, to walk in the blessings of the Lord. Because there's an enemy that wants to keep you from it. That's why the Bible says resist the devil. Because there's a force that wants to keep you. And let me help you with the force that's trying to keep you from. You think it's a devil out there. The devil. You think it's some outside force. You think it's an outside force that's struggling against you, but what's struggling against you is you. You have to fight yourself to believe the impossible. That's what your struggle is. It's all up in here. Somebody say amen. It's when you lay down in your bed at night, you have to fight you. You have to deal with you. You have to deal with your unbelief. Because the only thing that's keeping you from believing is what you believe. So you're fighting what you believe. So you're fighting yourself. And you have to tell the devil to get behind me. You have to tell that other thought to get behind me. I choose to believe the word of God. Somebody ought to say amen. It's a decision that you've got to make consciously. And you've got to hold on to it until it manifests. Not just in due season, not just when you think it's long enough. You have to hold on to what you're expecting until it manifests. You don't quit until it manifests. You don't slow down. You don't stop until it manifests. Because you serve a God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you ask or think. But it's according to the power of God that's working in you. Did you get that? You got to fight you. You have to tell yourself to shut up. Because somebody got to go and it ain't me. Amen. You got to shut up. You about to drive me crazy. You better shut up. Casting down every high thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the word of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of God. You have to do that. You have to sanctify yourself. You have to set yourself apart from yourself. I can't get no help. Expect big in this place. Make the devil a liar. It's either going to be you or him. You choose. Take authority in this house. Members, and decree with your pastor and First Lady, what will be in this house? Don't be passive. It's time out for being passive. Come on now. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Roll up your sleeves and determine that this place shall be a place of worship. It shall be a place where miracles happen. Come on, come on, come on. It shall be a place where the power of God is manifested. Come on, somebody. It shall be a place where the unusual happen. It shall be a place where people will flock to. Amen. They'll stand all outside the windows to see what's going on in this place. See it. And hold on to it until it happens. Expect it until it happens. And tell yourself it's going to happen. Come on, give your neighbor a high five and tell your neighbor it's going to happen. Because I expect it to happen. Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. Or if you're really expecting God to do something great in your life, you ought to shout now. There's a song that says, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Don't you wait till you see your miracle. Don't you wait till this place fill up. You shout now. Hallelujah. Give him praise now. Hallelujah. Bless his name now. Hallelujah. Magnify his name now. Hallelujah. Glorify his name now. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, come on, come on. If you're really expecting God to do something great, you ought to put your hands together and give God some praise. Come on, praise him from the depths of your heart. Come on and magnify him. Come on and bless his name. Lady Dawson. See, you all may be sick. Just give me just a few minutes and I'm through. He's faithful. And let me tell you something. Let me just testify. The ministry cost you everything. It cost you everything. But he's faithful to reward you. He's going to bless you for your faithfulness. See, you're right there. I'm going to just say it like that. And that's a good place. Because that's usually where God shows up. And that's the place we try to stay from, stay out of. We suck it up, so to speak. For the most part, it's because we think that that's a lack of faith. So we suck it up. Are you with me? Which only delays the miracle. It delays the promise. I'm talking from experience. And the harder you are to break, the more pressure he needs to apply to break you. And when you're made out of the stuff I'm made out, ooh, you've got to come with some stuff. But then it seems like the harder he presses me, the harder I become to break. Which means he has to apply yet more pressure because I won't break. Which means my struggle is prolonged. But then when I finally realize, okay, God, I surrender. I can't do this anymore. I break. Then that's when God blesses. Because in that brokenness, you have an experience with God that you can only get in that moment. And if you're not willing to break or experience that love of God, amen, you will never walk in that anointing that God has for you. So it's okay where you are. You're right where you're supposed to be. Because out of this season that you're in, it's going to come forth like a new flower. And behold, all things are become new. Because what's dying is that which God cannot use. But at the same time, he's planted inside of you qualities that you don't even, that you're not even privy to yet. And you'll find yourself tapping into them and you'll wonder, well, when did that happen? But it's been happening all along. Just play some softly, my brother. So he's a big in your life on your behalf, because you need to see God do some things. It's one thing to hear God, you know, and that's great and that's grand and that's fine, but we need to see God do what he said he's going to do. So expect him to. See, if you expect that he won't do it, he won't. But I'm going to let you know he's going to do it. Yeah, the pressure is heavy. But he said he would put more on you than you could bear. So if it's on you, you can bear it. It may not feel good. Didn't know it was going to include all of this, Lord. But since I'm here, Lord, I need you to do something for me, Lord, because I'm committed, and he knows you're committed to him. We wouldn't be here 10 years if we were not committed. So take courage, woman of God. God's going to bless you, and I mean the kind that you can tangibly put your hands on, because I know how it is. You get prophecy, you can be in ministry, and you hear the word, God's going to bless, like, all right, yeah, okay, yeah, right, okay, right, win. Just know he's going to do it. Somebody get excited about what God's going to do for Lady Dawson, amen. Because what he does inside of her life is going to bless your life. You ought to be jumping all over this place, amen. Because what he's going to do in her life is going to ultimately bless your life. So be encouraged. I see. This is a blessed house. I said, this is a blessed house. And you're blessed for being here. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you for showing up in this place. God, we thank you for blessing us, and we thank you for birthing in our hearts expectation again. We thank you for it right now, God. Thank you, God, that tomorrow when I get up, as a matter of fact, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to prepare for something great to happen. I don't know what it is, but then again, you should know what it is. I'm expecting it to happen tomorrow. And so I go home, I go to bed tonight filled with anticipation. And I get up early in the morning looking for what I've been expecting from you. I thank you for it and I receive it. I rejoice in it right now in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement, why don't you jump to your feet right quick and shout hallelujah. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Oh, come on, one more time, hallelujah. Oh, come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. He's worthy. I said he's worthy to be praised. Pass it on.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Well, we bless God for the word that we received here tonight, amen. His goodness and his mercy endureth forever, amen. You may be seated. We're preparing to worship God with our giving.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be, and I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.